Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, this is Allison Loudermilk, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
And this is Robert Lamb, science writer at HowStuffWorks.com. So, Allison, you've got a dog, right?
I do have a dog.
Yeah, I have a cat myself. And I think one thing that these two species share have in common is the ability to vomit, like, on a daily basis. And not only the ability, but just the willingness and sheer desire to vomit.
Yeah, it does seem like I spend a lot of my life these days cleaning up accidents, either of the pet or children variety.
The thing that gets me about the cat is that she will only vomit on things like carpet, or, like, we have hardwoods, and then we have, like, some areas of carpet. And, like, she will, you'll hear her, like, vomiting. I'll be in the night, and I'll hear this, of her warming up to the vomit. And I'll wake up. I could be in, like, a deep dream state, and I'll wake up, and I'll be like, all right, she's in the house. She's about to vomit. So I go and find her, and she'll be on this little rug, right, about to upchuck. And I take her off, and I set her on the hardwoods, because at least if she vomits on the hardwoods,
it's easier to clean up.
Set her on the hardwood, and she scampers over to another carpet, like she can only throw up on a carpet.
It is true. They do display a remarkable propensity for puking on carpet. Why is that?
Are dogs the same way?
Yeah, they are. Huh. They love to throw up on a carpet. But the point of this barfing anecdote is that it makes both of us pretty glad that we don't have Komodo dragons. Because,
yes,
you know, cat throw up, dog throw up is nothing compared to what you might see come out of a Komodo dragon after it ate, say, a goat.
Yeah, and if you're wondering what this looks like, do a YouTube search for Komodo dragon and vomit, and you'll get to see a lovely video set to some really really interesting musical choice, vomiting up a partially digested goat leg.
So now that we've thoroughly upset your stomach, let's tell you why we're talking about Komodo dragons. Robert and I over at HowStuffWorks.com have been immersed in writing content for this upcoming really neat series that's going to premiere on the Discovery Channel called Life.
You watched Planet Earth, and this is the same bunch of people, the same just completely addictive thing, beautiful footage of just some of the amazing tidbits from our natural world.
Right. So Planet Earth was habitat focused, and Life will be focused on the amazing species populating our planet and their remarkable behaviors. And in one of the episodes on reptiles and amphibians, the Komodo dragon is
prominently featured, yeah.
And Robert and I were very, very impressed by the Komodo dragons because you see them in the zoo and, you know, they're not doing much. Maybe they're fed a frozen rat or something. They're kind of lethargic, as they tend to be, cold-blooded. They're not exerting any more energy than they need to.
And let me point out, at least they have the excuse of being cold-blooded, unlike the panda, which just sits there, warm-blooded, not doing anything, and gets all the attention. That's a separate tangent, but anyway.
So we really wanted to do a podcast on those crazy Komodos that we've been writing about. And just for those of you who are interested, the series is going to premiere in March 2010.
Mm-hmm. Unless you know if you're British, you've already seen it.
So let's give you a quick introduction to the Komodo dragon. The Komodo is about 9 feet long. It lives over on a limited range of islands in Indonesia, one of which is Komodo Island. And it's the most intelligent and the largest lizard in the world.
Yeah, and this is a top predator we're talking about here. The only thing that eats Komodo dragons is other Komodo dragons. I mean, unless you're going to some pretty strange restaurants, you're not going to find it on the menu. And when I say they eat other Komodo dragons, like a lot of species, they'll eat their own if they happen to be wounded or weak or dead. The Komodo dragon is really big. I mean, Komodo dragon will eat fresh food. It'll kill something and eat it. But if something's been sitting around, it's a little rotten, you know, the Komodo dragon's not gonna pass that up. So yeah, it'll eat one of its own if it's rotting on the side of the path. But they're also quite fond of their own young. A female Komodo dragon will lay the eggs in a burrow and then just leave them. Komodo dragons have no further role in the raising of the young.
So it's not practicing, say, attachment parenting.
Right. Now,
it's definitely no mammal.
They want to practice, like, ingestion parenting. Because if they find any of the smaller, like, hatchling Komodos, they will eat them up. So,
how does the hatchling prevent this?
Well, they have two methods. One method is to pretty much live in the trees. And Komodos can climb trees when they really want to, but these guys will stay up in the higher branches and just stay out of sight. The other tactic is, of course, to roll themselves in fecal matter.
Oh, of course.
Because it's like the Komodo dragon will eat just about anything, but it's not that big on eating things that are you know, covered in crap. More on that later. It's a great podcast. You get your vomit and your crap content all in one. So yeah, in terms of other things they'll eat though, they'll take down things like deer. They'll take down rats or whatever, you know, smaller animals. But then they'll even take down water buffalo occasionally. And we're going to get more into the hunting technique they use in a minute, because it just like takes weeks while they wait for the thing to die. And then when it's time to eat it, they just throw themselves at it. The big ones anyway. You end up having this kind of like circle of feeding. With the Komodos.
Yeah, it's communal, but it's not really generous, per se.
No, it's not. It's not like a Thanksgiving dinner, or not like my Thanksgiving dinner. Some families probably do it differently. It would be like if your Thanksgiving dinner consists of, like, your three largest uncles rolling around in a carcass
And throwing elbows.
And then, like, the smaller members of the family are on the...
Like grandma.
Outskirts. Yeah, grandma's on the outskirts just trying to, like, reach in and grasp a chicken leg. And then all the little kids are just out in the bushes hoping that their other family members don't eat them while they're waiting for scraps. That's pretty much what you have. And they will eat... pretty much everything. These guys clean their plates. Researchers have observed them eating upwards of 80% of their own body weight. Like, when they're through, they're just completely, like, dragging gut back to their burrows. It's just amazing.
These guys had recliners. They'd be bellying up for hours in front of the TV after.
Yeah. And the thing is, they can't necessarily digest everything. They can digest a lot. But, like, say they eat some hide, some bone, some antlers or something, they can't digest that. So a little later, they just vomit it all up in this just disgusting-smelling ball known as a gastric pellet.
Oh, it even has a word.
Yeah, but it doesn't really look like a pellet. It more looks like a basketball made of half-digested goat. There are some animals out there that aren't big on eating the actual guts of an animal. The Komodo will, but like we said earlier, the little ones roll around in the crap so that they won't get eaten. So the Komodo, before it'll eat the intestines, it will take them in its mouth and sling them around.
Like a lasso.
Yeah, so that all the fecal matter goes flying out into the forest. And then, once it's nice and clean, they'll eat the guts as well.
They'll partake of the intestines.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
They are ravenous and vile creatures, but we still love them.
Amazingly cool, too. So let's talk about some of their hunting techniques. I mean, how would a Komodo dragon take down a water buffalo, say?
A live one. Because, like we said, they'll eat the dead one. But a live water buffalo is a different proposition.
Well, part of it is ambush. I mean, really, all they need to do is they need to sit around and wait for some great ambling beast to come by, and they need to land one good bite. And why do they need to land one good bite? Well, because they have venom.
Yeah.
And their mouths are really just this crazy cocktail of bacteria and venom. So even if the bite doesn't kill the animal instantly, the venom and the bacteria will do their work. And the animal, no matter how big, will likely die. I think it takes a goat-sized animal about 4 days. The buffalo took much longer than that. But you can watch this in life. It's really an amazing scene.
And they have it's a mouthful of just serrated teeth, too. So it's a pretty nasty bite anyway.
It's like a mouthful of steak knives or something.
Yeah. Dirty, nasty snake knives.
Yeah, and some of the toxins in there, one of them causes intestinal cramps and makes the animal, the prey, more sensitive to pain. And then you have another toxin in there that causes hypothermia. And then, of course, as if that weren't enough, other toxins will make the animal just bleed like crazy. And from the outside, like, the prey looks stunned and just kind of quiet.
Yeah, one of the interesting things about the water buffalo that they study in life is that they actually observe the wound healing up. But the venom was doing its work inside the animal. So
beside the venom, we have stuff like the tongue. So if you're not hanging out at a watering hole with a great big water buffalo, you have to find your prey, right? Well, the tongue is actually the Komodo smelling mechanism. So kind of get in your head this picture of a lizard flicking its tongue out. So what it's doing with its tongue is it's flicking it out and it's catching air molecules and then it's scraping them on the inside of its mouth and it's analyzing them essentially. And the forked tongue is giving you directions. For example, like if the tongue's left fork has more scent molecules, then the dragon knows you're hiding on the left. And so it's just constantly flicking its tongue back and forth to follow its prey.
So kind of like smells in 3D.
Yeah, it's a funky tongue. And then, of course, we have the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you get in close to the prey, then you can land that bite. But their teeth and the jaws are really not that impressive. I mean, they have the steak knives and everything, but the bite itself is, I think, similar to a cat's strength. It's not very strong.
Mm-hmm.
What really is the secret weapon is the venom. So once the Komodo dragon eats its prey, and I mean eating kind of loosely because it doesn't chew before swallowing, it just kind of ingests whole, like a snake. It can unhinge its jaws and it can open them to swallow these just like ginormous chunks of meat that are larger than their heads.
Yeah, it's like Fogo de Chao or any of those big steak chains, you know.
Right. So can you picture yourself going to one of these like Brazilian meat places and unhinging your jaw and just like, you know, imbibing whole this giant steak? Yeah, that's kind of what the Komodo does.
There's generally one table of Komodo dragons at most major steak restaurants like that. Don't sit next to them.
Once it ingests this huge mass of meat, it travels undigested to the stomach, and the stomach, you know, stretches as it needs to do. And there's a very powerful stomach acid there, which can dissolve a lot of those crazy parts that the Komodo just ate. But not everything, as Robert has thoughtfully pointed out.
Tell me about the people who were shipwrecked on the island with Komodo dragons.
Yeah, so there's a news story a ways back about some divers who were left stranded on a diving expedition. They swam to shore and, woo, they were so excited. They finally made land and they had to wait for a rescue. I guess somebody, I don't know how they got said rescue, but they got onto this island and the island happened to be populated by Komodo dragons. And the Komodo dragons, of course, have this very keen sense of smell and they were able to spot the divers. And so for the next few days, while the divers waited for a rescue, they had to fight off Komodo dragons by like screaming at them and throwing rocks at them. So can you imagine? I mean, you finally swim to shore, you know, you're on a tropical island. It's kind of like Lost.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Except shorter duration if you're on the island of the Komodos.
And eventually you get saved, but not before having to fight off Komodo dragons and save your life.
They are not above taking on human prey, especially if you're wounded. And they're protected species, so you get shipwrecked on an island full of Komodos, you can't very well just go around braining them in the head with rocks and frying them up yourself. And good luck competing with them, right?
So did you interview the guy?
Yeah,
who
actually
did the life sequence?
Yeah, I interviewed one of the cameramen on that particular shoot. And it really, really, really fascinating story, just the filming of it, because they had to march miles to this site, to this watering hole, every day. They couldn't actually spend the night out there because it was too dangerous. you know, they had to stay at this camp. So they're lugging all this equipment out, and then they ended up just having to wait for this to happen. Wait for these Komodos to, because the water buffalo is a pretty dangerous prey. It can trample the dragon. It can
use its horns.
Yeah. So it, like I say, they're opportunists. So it's like, it's a matter of one of these dragons getting cocky enough and hungry enough to dare to take that bite. And then it's weeks of waiting, for the thing to die. And so they had to sit there and wait for the water buffalo to die and
trail it all over the island.
Yeah. And they end up getting really attached. I mean, maybe not attached, but you know, if you're watching like a pack of, you know, eight Komodos, you know, waiting to devour a water buffalo, basically devour it alive, you know, who are you going to sympathize with? Not the dragon, really. So there was a whole emotional side to that. And just being around like two dangerous creatures, because the water buffalo gets spooked, it can run you over. And the Komodos, like I say, they're not opposed to taking a bite out of a human if the opportunity presents itself.
Did the staff have any close calls?
Yeah, they did. Well, they had some local guides that came along with them with sticks. Would just kind of like push them out of the way if they got too close to the camera. But there was one scene he was telling me about where this was early in the chase, I guess. The water buffalo still had a fair amount of energy, and the water buffalo was moving through the forest, and the Komodos were chasing after it. So the cameraman, the life camera crew, they just said, "Hey, we're gonna flank this buffalo, get ahead of it, film it coming towards us, and then we'll film the Komodos following it." And I think it was like there were five Komodos trailing the water buffalo at that time. So he gets ahead, they both get ahead, they set up the camera, and they only see four Komodo dragons.
Oh no.
And then one of the dudes is like, "Hey, they're just four." And then the other guy goes, "Hey, you know, behind you." Look, turns around, and there's a Komodo coming right behind him. Like, the Komodo had the same plan as the cameraman to flank the prey.
Oh man.
And you know, one bite from those guys, and you know, it's not a pretty picture.
Yeah, so you guys are going to have to check out Life when it comes out, because it's a pretty amazing series.
Might even make you want to get a pet Komodo. I don't know. Think on that one. You'll look pretty awesome being the only person in your neighborhood with a Komodo on a chain.
Yeah, definitely. So if you have any thoughts about Komodos or just want to send us an email, you know where to find us, sciencestuff@howstuffworks.com, or brush up on Komodo venom over at the site.
Or come check out the blogs. We're going to be blogging quite a bit about Life when it starts airing, and as well as any other interesting scientific tidbit that comes our way.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more HowStuffWorks? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.